It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yep, well, Iranian officials in the Trump administration yesterday offered contradictory and rapidly changing assessments of the state of the war and peace talks, all while providing very few details about those negotiations. Sound familiar? Hours after threatening more attacks, the president insisted during remarks in the Oval Office yesterday afternoon that the U.S. had, quote, won the war in Iran. He also said that Washington had, quote unquote, very good talks with Iran in the last 24 hours, adding, we're in good shape, now we're doing well, and we have to get what we have to get. Okay, well, Iran, for its part, gave different appraisals of how negotiations were proceeding. The country's foreign ministry spokesman said yesterday that his government was reviewing an American plan to end the war and would convey its views to the Pakistani side. Earlier in the day, another Iranian official had dismissed a reported proposal to end the war as, quote, a list of American wishes. The mixed messages came a day after the president abruptly paused a U.S. military operation to escort ships through the Strait of Hormuz, citing that he had made great progress in talks. Now, in public, there have been little signs that the week of diplomacy aimed at reaching a deal and the end of the war were bearing any fruit. In a Truth Social post yesterday, Trump said he would end the war and offer safe passage for vessels through the strait if Iran, quote, agrees to give what has been agreed. Agrees to give what had... We'll sort that out in a minute. He did not elaborate. If they don't agree, the bombing starts, he threatened, warning that further U.S. attacks would be at a much higher level in intensity. The suggestion appeared to contradict the assertion made by Secretary of State Marco Rubio Tuesday that the war was over. Okay, every day it's more of the same. It's, we're doing great, the war's over. Oh no, we're going to start bombing. What? So... Jamie, I saw your face. I want to know if you can explain that that quote from the president, again on Truth Social, if Iran agrees to give what has been agreed. Can you parse that at all for me?
I cannot, which is why okay. I probably made a face. I don't understand what any of that means. Of course, I don't understand a lot of things that have been happening recently.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I mean, I think the bottom line for me in all of this is that this type of uncertainty is where we start risking even more lives. And we've seen thousands of people killed in the Middle East because of this conflict. We have seen U.S. soldiers killed because of this conflict. And when a world leader is sending these type of messages, it makes it harder to know what is happening. And we don't know if things are improving. We don't actually know if anything's improved. We don't know if anything is actually worse. We don't know if there is a chance of more escalation because of the uncertainty in this contradictory, these contradictory statements.
And there's also, we've got a story later about that we're not even getting the full report on how bad things actually are for the U.S. military. And imagine if you're in the military. You're hearing on the same day, the war's over, the war's not over. We're going to start bombing again. No, we've done very well. If you're in the military, how do you even process this? It's like, hey, how about you guys get on the same page and tell us what we need to be ready for? Because we're the people who are in harm's way. We're the people who have to carry out this stupid war that nobody wanted, that we didn't need. And we also have to carry out contradicting plans all the time. We have to be ready. Are we done? Are we ramping up? Are we going home? What's going on? It's irresponsible. It's ridiculous. And this is the cop out line. It's not how things are supposed to be.
There's also credibility issues too, right? I mean, even when Marco Rubio says something and the president says something, that is confusion for the American people. It's also confusing for our allies, for the markets, which this administration likes to hang all of their success on. It's also confusing for other countries who are also trying to respond because they're also seeing the ramifications for a war that they don't want to be a part of and didn't start. And I think most importantly, it also risks there's a risk of miscalculation in these comments, because when communication is this unclear, there is a chance for misunderstanding, overreaction. And in a situation, again, where we're involving military operation, that's not a position I want our military in when there's this much confusion. I mean,
you can't have a credibility problem if you never had credibility. So we'll throw that one out. But the communication is, you're absolutely right. We have to, somebody, and it's never going to happen with this group. Right. You're never going to get a straight, unilateral, because in the past, when this country has gotten into war, and you could agree with them or disagree with them, that's not the issue. The issue was, when we entered into a conflict, the president would come on, he would address the American people after he had spoken to Congress. And everybody in that administration had the same message, because the message came in a consistent manner from the head of the commander-in-chief, came from the president, and he laid out a clear path. We have not heard anything. We have heard a made-up excuse about Iran having a nuclear weapon or the capability of nuclear weapon, which contradicted again the president saying that it had been obliterated. So from the very first bomb that dropped, there has not been justification. There has not been reasoning. There has not been a clear path forward. What does victory look like? What are we going to do down the road? And how do we get out? In sometimes hours, it changes. Our objective changes. Everything is out the window. So there is no consistency. There is no clarity. And when I can't wait to talk about this story, the other story down the road, because it is unfathomable that we are allowing this to happen.
Right.
And this administration still has no off-ramp to this thing. And they've wildly miscalculated the Iranian response, which we've seen from March 1st.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they figured they were going to drop the first bombs and that was it.
Yep.
And it gets worse and worse.
And before we move on, the one thing I would remind everybody is that in the past, when presidents have been able to come on and make those addresses and tell the American people what's happening, it's because they've aligned themselves with career-long diplomats, negotiators, and people who are experienced and have some sort of higher knowledge of these countries and their inner workings and are able to actually go in and figure out what is happening, or a career military who understand how these operations should play out. That's why they're able to be strategic.
If you're the smartest guy on the planet, Jamie, you don't need any of those, you know, nerds jumping in with their fiddle faddle.
I miss those nerds. Let me tell you, I miss those nerds a whole lot right now.
Yeah, I want somebody who's devoted their whole life to the Middle East and strategies and war and conflicts. I want people who have negotiated more than just a bad real estate deal.
Right.
Going over to talk to these leaders of foreign countries and, you know, knowing that it's not a win or die game. Yep. It's negotiating.
And this is why it's so dangerous when you start taking those career individuals out of an administration, because this is what they have done their entire lives. This is why you have them in those roles. And that's why, and I get it. We overspend in this government. I think there does need to be a cleansing of how money is spent. And I get that. I understand that portion of it, because I also agree that we use money weirdly in this country, and we can't always explain it. But with that being said, there are people who are in those offices for a reason, and I trust those people. That's who I trust. So, this has not been good over the last few months.
But there is more as we need to know, Jamie.
There is, absolutely. It looks like the FBI has been busy. In fact, yesterday they searched the Virginia State Senate leader's hometown office as part of a corruption investigation, according to a person familiar with the matter. Federal agents were also seen at the senator's nearby cannabis business. Now, the search at Virginia Senator L. Louise Lucas's office in Portsmouth comes after the Democrat helped lead the state's recent redistricting testing effort. The FBI said only that it was conducting a court-authorized search in Portsmouth. The person who confirmed the FBI search was not authorized to discuss any ongoing investigation by name and spoke to the media, specifically the Associated Press, on conditions of anonymity. Now, besides the search at Lucas's office, which houses her disability services business and is her political base in Portsmouth, agents in FBI T-shirts were also went into the nearby cannabis store that she opened in 2021. Several entrances at the cannabis outlets parking lot were blocked by unmarked vehicles with flashing blue lights, as was an entrance to the politician's office. Now, Lucas is a prominent backer of legalizing marijuana. She has said that the store sells legal hemp and CBD products. It has drawn scrutiny from local media because there's allegations that some products were mislabeled. Virginia has legalized pot possession, but retail sales of recreational marijuana remain illegal in the state. Now, one House Speaker, Don Scott, said that he was deeply concerned by this FBI search. He said, quote, right now there is far more theatrics and speculation than actual information available to the public. Other Virginia Democrats were also quick to note that the search comes as the FBI and Justice Department have opened a bit of a there's a tiff that's politically charged with investigations into perceived adversaries of President Donald Trump. I mean, this is the same story we've seen, right? I mean, over and over again. And let me be also be clear. Senator Lucas is also an ally of Abigail Spanberger, who is now the governor. She was instrumental in helping her get elected to that seat. She was instrumental in her congressional run as well, and then led the redistricting charge in the state of Virginia.
Which I don't think it's connected, but the Republicans very unhappy with the fact that Virginia was able to redistrict based on a vote. You know, based on the will of the people,
sure.
They didn't like that. So, but again, I'm sure it's not connected that now you're going to investigate.
Let's say it's not. Let's just hypothetically say it's not. It's very convenient that this would come up right this moment.
Coincidental. Just like the fact that now the FBI is investigating the reporter who published the story in The Atlantic about Kash Patel's alleged drinking issues and the trying to find the leak, and they will prosecute the leak as well. So, again, coincidence? I don't believe in coincidences. You know that. I'm not a big, oh, wow, that just all happened together. So it is again, and the Justice Department just this morning also jumping in to do Trump's bidding, trying to get the judgment against E. Jean Carroll thrown out.
Right.
You know, the one where Trump has to pay millions and millions of dollars for
assault.
Sexual assault.
Well,
I didn't want to, you know, I'm trying to parse my words, but you can't parse sexual assault. It is what it is.
And he was found guilty.
He was found guilty. Yes, that's true. There's no more allegedly. He was found guilty.